hours we stand at a distance from God and cry out for help. Then when help comes, or as John Bailey so simply and truthfully put it, if the imagined danger disappears as it usually has done, I apply only to think how absurd were all my fears and to banish the whole little episode from my mind with a shrug of relief. How often I forget, he confesses, to follow up my petition with thanksgiving. 9 times out of 10 do I forget, thus justifying Christ's question. We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? We do not know about the 9, but we surely know about ourselves. We know that 9 times out of 10 it does not occur to us to be grateful, to return thanks, to praise God for the wonder of our lives. We wake, we work, we refresh ourselves with food and friends and family, and then fall to sleep with no word of thanks. 9 times out of 10, the gift of life, of health, of friendship, of work, of play, of food, family, shelter, worship is experienced not as a gift, but as a given. And then we not only accept the gift, but come to expect it. Ripe when it is not ours for the taking. And so it is that our daily existence justifies Christ's question. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? That said, our lives are not without moments of thanksgiving. There are, first of all, those unsettling reminders that evoke a kind of gratitude. A visit to a friend in the hospital who may never regain strength prompts us to remember, with all of our aches and pains, that we still have enough health for independence. A talk with someone whose personal life is in pieces and whose spirit is broken reminds us that the chaos of our lives is more ordered than we realize. And this week, the daily headlines of devastation and death in Haiti, of carnage continuing in Syria. Those headlines cause us to count our blessings while we keep our distance. As John Updike's character, Rabbit Angstrom, says, when you think of the dead, you gotta be grateful. There is a sort of gratitude via negativa that still leaves Christ with the question, were not 10 made clean? Where are the 9? Or there is the thanks we return not to Christ, but to ourselves. We consider the work of our hands, our patient dealings with our children, health assured by clean living, a future secured in the bank. And for all these blessings, we seem to have only ourselves to thank. When I think of how our society lauds the illusion of the self-made man, and how oblivious we are to the systems that privilege race and class, I begin to understand why, 9 times out of 10, we forget to give thanks. In our self-referential gratitude, we also justify Christ's question. We're not 10 made clean. Where are the 9? Then there are those who are grateful, but have no clue whom to thank. Sir Leslie Stephen, at the death of his first wife in 1871, writes a letter, I thank response of gratitude leaves Jesus looking down the road and asking, "Where are the nine?" The gratitude that comes to us by way of contrast or as self-congratulations or as an emotion with no object may find us momentarily happy, but in no way whole, holy, human. Hence the story in Luke's Gospel. 9 times out of 10, we live justifying Christ's question. But what of the 10th time? What prompted Jesus to say to the 10th man, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you whole"? Initially, all 10 set out down the road as sick men, very sick men, who had nothing to lose. Their faces disfigured, their fingers fallen off, their feet bound with bandages. Society had declared them to be untouchable others. A miracle cure was their only hope. So like the 9, the 10th man initially obeyed Jesus when he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." The priest was the one that if you ever ended up recovering from leprosy, you went to the priest, who was kind of like the health official too, who said, "Leprosy's gone. You can go back to your family, to your community, to your life." So Jesus said, without touching them, keeping that distance, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." The 10 believed in the power of Jesus' mercy just enough. think of Eddie Hillison, a young Jewish woman from Holland, who prayed as she awaited transport to Auschwitz, "You have made me so rich, O God. My life has become an uninterrupted dialogue with you. One great dialogue. Sometimes when I stand in some corner of the camp, my feet planted on your earth, my eyes raised toward your heaven, tears sometimes run down my face, tears of deep emotion and gratitude. At night, too, when I lie in my bed and rest in you, O God, tears of gratitude run down my face, and that is my prayer." This is the relationship for which we were made. The relationship that made the tenth man well. The love in whose hold we become whole. Curiously, only after the tenth man returns and falls at Jesus' feet and thanks him, does Luke reveal that the man was a Samaritan, a person doubly othered in the society. I found myself wondering if he now would also be othered by his own community because he had been healed by a Jewish rabbi. If his isolation would simply take a new form. When Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way," I wondered what his way would be on the boundary world where his faith had made him whole. According to some, Luke was wondering the same thing, was thinking about the boundary that was being crossed as the gospel began to be proclaimed to Gentiles like us, was thinking about the church when he thought about where in the world the tenth man would go. So my own wandering started me thinking about this church as a community of gratitude in a society of the self.